How fast is Amazon doing this?
As soon as your product becomes visible on a search because it's active, it starts gathering real user interaction.
Who's our customer and how do we sell to that customer?
The matrix, as you call it, it's still very important. Optimizing for behavior, optimizing for a personalized shopping experience, which is what Amazon has always tried to communicate.
How do you survive Amazon?
That's a great question, Johnny. How do you survive on Amazon?
Welcome to Surviving Amazon, the podcast that exposes the brutal truth behind selling on Amazon, where only the strongest survive. We bring you insider stories and strategies from experts and sellers who've been through it all, the ups, the downs, and the moments that made them question if it was even all worth it. I'm Johnny Bradley, and today I'm joined by Oana, who's helped their sellers battle through the way of selling on Amazon for many years now. She's an expert in strategy, growth, advertising, SEO, is a particular geek, if you don't mind me saying, when it comes down to how Amazon works behind the scenes, algorithm science, where a lot of those details are often hidden. She's helped sellers live it, survive it, and she's here to share exactly how she does it. So my first question is, how do you survive Amazon?
That's a great question, Johnny. Survive is actually the word, because we all know it's basically a jungle out there, right? And how do you survive on Amazon? Short and sweet, we will dive deep into all the intricacies that come with it, but it comes down for sellers to do their homework and apply tactics that I would say resonate with 2025 and not with 2017 anymore, because what worked in the past doesn't work anymore today. We have a different landscape, we have a different shopper behavior, we have a different algorithm that we all know about. So it comes down to putting down the work and understanding what really works today versus focusing on hacks and tactics that worked in the past but won't do the job anymore.
I think I've heard this so often, you know, there's no one silver bullet. You know, the hacks aren't, they're never going to help you. And the problem is that I've been in this for nearly eight years now, and I have seen so many times webinars or events or whatever that's like, it's promoting this new hack and this new way to do it, and it's hard to not get shiny object syndrome, right? How do you feel about like hacks, or is it a case of, hey, they're good to use if you've got the foundations, but if you haven't got the foundations, it's kind of no point?
I totally agree, yes. And it really comes down to what type of hacks there are, because there's no one fix it all kind of like solution. So it really is it worth it for you? Can it work for you? It will change from one scenario to the other, especially since at the moment we have a more complex algorithm, right? And you called me a geek, and I'm okay with that, you know? Because I'm used to having that label, and it's okay. I'm really trying to get to a place where everything that I, you know, suggest to shoppers and every strategy that I work on with every seller that I work, it's like no BS, really try to understand what really is effective. And it's all about testing, because it's never 100% certain. Whoever sells you on something like this will definitely work, you need to really pay attention, because data will give you the answer. And it also comes down to how fast you can get to your target and goal, right? So It can be that from one seller to the other, one product to the other, there will be different tactics and hacks that you can try to, you know, adopt and test. It comes down to testing at the end of the day. It's not anymore, you know, you do keyword stuffing and it's done. We have an algorithm that today looks at behavior. And we saw that with the 2023 patent when they introduced the query item pairs, where they kind of like personalize for every query, for every shopper, right? And that behavior is also mentioned also in other like science papers, the Cosmo that everybody loves. Rufus tries to do the same. 2024, they introduced Rufus, who is trying to learn your shopping habits in order to, you know, personalize recommendations for products that you might want to buy. So it's all about testing. It's all about embracing the new way that the algorithm works.
One thing you said there is, you know, it's really about being data driven, right? And I guess that's the one hack that you,
need. The one hack always.
That's the only one. Test everything. And I really like that approach, and that's why you know, I've drawn to what you and Danny did recently with the paper that you put out, or the, you know, article that you put out regarding the honeymoon period, the cold start system, which I'd love to talk about. But this is what I see. Like, I went to an event just a couple of weeks ago, and mm-hmm. there were people asking questions, which were, what's the best thing for me to do with this ad? And the answer is, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. Like, what does the data say?
Exactly.
Do it. What does the data say? And then adjust accordingly. And I think that's something that, going into Amazon when I first started, I didn't grasp that. Like, that's something that I wasn't taught. I didn't know. But over time, you realize, okay, actually, this is how it really does work. Is you, and I use the examples of, like, if you do an image, many times I thought, okay, I'm going to put the box in an image, I'm going to put a nice reflection, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. That's bound to work because it's worked on all these other ASINs before. And then it doesn't. And you think, well, but it did before. So why does it not happen here? And you have this confirmation bias of, well, if it happened here, then it should happen here. And I think that's sometimes you need humbling, right? And even now I think, oh yeah, I should have just looked at the data or trusted the data. Do you think that that's maybe one of a big issue for sellers, even when they're really established, is that they think they know better than data?
Well, yes, definitely. That comes, it's funny because that also comes, you know, coming from an SEO background, they usually come and say, oh, I want to index for these keywords, but they're not relevant to your product. No, but I want to, why? You know what I mean? Shoppers will come to your page and then bounce off. So you need to create a strategy that talks to your target audience. It's not what you like about the images, it's about the experience that your shoppers are going to have once they land on your page. And think about it like this: your product is the reflection of your business. It needs to be high quality. It needs to do everything that it's supposed to solve shoppers, you know, problems, and, you know, explain specific features and everything like that. But at the end of the day, it needs to be targeted to a specific customer profile. They need to like it. They need to resonate with it. Like you said, I like it maybe, but who knows? I need to test it. If they don't like it, it will affect my ranking. I need to make changes based on that. So it always comes down to personalizing everything. And it all starts with a deep research from my point of view. So you have the product, then you need to understand who buys the product. Right? Why do they buy the product? And then tap into the psychology of how those people shop. What do they react to? What are the triggers, right? So from a shopper perspective, it's tapping into their psychology in order to communicate with them in a proper way, in a proper sense. And that will be customized from one product to the other. You cannot apply to one product what worked to a new product that you're launching. Maybe the process is the same, but the target audience and the data will change. The niche that you go to will change. The competitors that you have will change, right? So you need to be able to spot all these changes in order to then create a landing page, the PDP page, that will reflect those insights. Right. And when you sell on Amazon, is, of course, you one, first of all, which is very important from my point of view, is that you need to understand the way that you build your product detail pages need to align on how Amazon reads the page itself, because it needs to be picked up as relevant for specific queries, right, for specific searches, and Rufus included, because now people will search and, you know, try to pull information utilizing Rufus. So you need to make sure that is on point and your product shows up. And then once that it does, you need to make sure that it's engaging enough for the shoppers who land on your page, because otherwise they will bounce off. So you start with, okay, technically, what do I need to put on my pages so Amazon considers it relevant? And then how will my shoppers react once they actually get to the page? And you convince them to buy rather than hopping off the page where they have 300 more sellers offering a similar product, maybe utilizing a better message.
Definitely completely agree with that. I think some people go too far one way and too far the other way. Finding that middle ground is really hard. Like just this morning, I was doing a podcast with Yana from YLT Translations. We started talking about the recent Jaguar rebrand. And it's thinking, what happened whereby they think these are all our customers, all the people that spend money with us. And here's basically the opposite of that demographic. We're going to rebrand and basically change our entire business to that. They may have thought from a data perspective, oh, we want to be moving with the times. We want to be, you know, more inclusive and more edgy and all that sort of stuff, because that's what the data says. But they didn't look at what do our customers want and what do the customers say. And I think you see that happen with brands as they get larger, right? They try to serve more people and end up backfiring. But I then see that as an opportunity, particularly on Amazon, where you can try to take a bit of that market share from some of those bigger, you know, bigger, more well-known brands, because they're trying to serve a ton of people. And I think what we know from Rufus, Cosmo, and everything that's happening, I really want you to talk about where you see this going, is the more niche product targeting a really specific type of customer, I think is where we're going with Amazon in the future, particularly with Rufus, because it doesn't make sense to have two search bars. That's what I'm thinking at the moment. They've got the normal search bar, you've got Rufus. They can't both exist forever.
They most likely will coexist for a long period of time until they actually do the switch. I'm positive about that. But ultimately, you are right. And if as a seller, you don't see that changing, that's a big miss, because Amazon is already shifted into that direction. Again, we see behavior being analyzed and measured by the algorithm when displayed results, right? So it really comes down to that key of creating a niche that you address that shopper, where you have the best conversion, you know exactly who buys the product, and you create, you know, retention, loyalty through your brand, everything that you want, but at a smaller group of people rather than just, you know, what we are used to. Even when we do keyword research, right? I come from advertising, and it was a start and try to rank on the highest search volume keyword. And I'm laughing because I had this recent podcast in which I was asked, oh, you mean that you need to go after, not smaller search volume, but definitely don't go after your root keyword. It will cost you more. It's the conversion rate is lower on average. You need to go after relevancy. So the highest, the keyword with the highest relevancy for your product in combination with the highest search volume will do the trick in terms of what do you want to rank on? What do you want to invest the most money in when it comes to ranking? Because you mentioned the paper that I did with Danny on the honeymoon period. It started that way. Like, we were really interested in understanding what happens when you add a product on Amazon. And again, I mentioned this and I will continue to, you know, mention it. I'm guilty of it. For years, I used the honeymoon period in creating strategies for launching, taking the honeymoon period into consideration. So when I saw the patents and I started reading, it was like just mind blowing of how did you fast. Figure that out?
What happened? Talk me through that. Like, how did you get to that, like, realization of, oh shit, this doesn't work as I thought it worked?
So how did this start with collaboration with Danny? We started geeking out through messages in terms of what do you think about this, what do you think about that, which led to, I think, the first paper that we did together, which was on Cosmo. As we were talking, as we were diving into, you know, techniques and everything in relation to that and science papers, he one day comes to me and says, well, look what I found, you know, and they were the patents. So at that point, I was like, I need to read this. I need to find out what happens with the cold start mechanism. And he had both. He was the one who found both patents, the 2022 and then the updated version of the 2023 November one. And that's like organically, it happens, like, let's co-author this together because it's going to be huge. And it was a lot of work because I'm not a developer. I don't come from a technical background. So understanding the loop that an algorithm does, the priors, posteriors, how it gets calculated, it's not something that I was used to. Like I was used to advertising and ranking and data from advertising, click-through rate, conversion rate, market share, all that. But I was not, by far expecting to learn that. So it was a learning curve for me, of course. And for not having that technical background, it was challenging, but it was amazing because you actually start to kind of like connect the dots. That's what actually happened to me while I was reading those and trying to like digest it and try to understand. And it was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth between I'm reading this and I'm trying to understand. But basically what it does, it's the explanation between what happens in 2022 and then the updated version in 2023. Is like, the superhero of all of all algorithms put together, which Amazon did in order to create even a better shopping experience with for the customers, because that's what always Amazon has been about. Making sure that when they calculate the likelihood of a conversion, it takes into consideration all these hacks that sellers might try to apply, because Amazon, of course, noticed that over the years, and make sure that it kind of like reduces the impact of any, black hat or gray hat tactic that one might apply in order to manipulate the ranking at the end of the day. Because what Amazon wants to make sure is that the results that show up are the most relevant for that specific shopper. So it goes down to the behavior. I kind of went off track just because how passionate I am when it comes to this work and, everything that I learned from studying the patents itself. But looking at the honeymoon, so you have the honeymoon period, right? So you add the product to Amazon. And what we were used to, and we know from Anthony Lee itself, which, by the way, I think, he's Danny's friend, and he went on the podcast right before we launched the article. And he did mention that back in 2015, when he invented the term, that was the case. That's how Amazon was addressing the cold start problem. There was this grace period in which, you would have this boost to help you get traction for new products that you add on Amazon. Over time, of course, the market is more saturated. Amazon has evolved. It utilizes, advanced machine learning techniques. And therefore, the ranking is being refined faster as soon as you hit the search, because it gathers information.
How fast is that really happening? Because when typically, we thought, again, going back to 2017, 2018, which is kind of when I started, honeymoon period was like, that's, what you do, you've got 3 months, 6 months. Like, what's this time period now? How quickly from getting like your first sale, or even just listing and, making a page active, how fast is Amazon doing this?
So what it mentions with the updated algorithm as you stand today, utilizing the Bayesian formula, it mentions that it processes data somewhere between 2 and 24 hours. It will depend on the time that it needs to process the data. But as soon as you hit the search, as soon as your product becomes visible on a search, because it's active, day zero, right, as I call it, it starts gathering real user interaction. Because when they first assign you a placement on the search, it's going to be a wild guess of what Amazon estimates your product can do in terms of popularity and sales, right? So as soon as you gather clicks, orders, user interaction, that's all being refined. And it comes from 2 to 24 hours. That's how long your honeymoon period. And then the new estimate that they assign to you, so the new placement will take the new prior prediction based on how users interacted, which now is the posterior. So it takes real user interaction is weighted more rather than the guesses that they did, because they really want to understand how shoppers react to your product. Of course, if it has a positive impact, it will help you in terms of the ranking. If it's a negative impact, of course, it's going to tank your listing. It's not going to be immediate. So don't think that it's like drastically happening, right? You don't really see that, especially since, because this was another question that I had, is like, when do you realize if it's a successful launch or not? It comes down to the data again, and you understanding that when you put a product on, let's say you put two products on Amazon at the same time, they are in two different categories, right? You have product A and product B. The process of creating the listing and the strategy for advertising and everything involved in that, it's the same, right? But you have a category that's more crowded versus one that it's a medium crowded category. The budgeting for advertising is the same on both. What do you expect? So I would expect that in the one where I have a more crowded category, or at least I have some maybe strong sellers that have a big part, that own a big part of the market share, I would expect even CPCs to be higher versus product B, where I might expect a lower CPC in terms of advertising. So from the start, you need to understand that I will be able to get more clicks from product B that I get on product A, right? Search volume, CPC, how many competitors, how competitive it is. They will all be variables that will lead to you ranking differently from one category to the other, starting at the same time. It comes down to monitoring on a daily basis. And I don't necessarily expect, like, you know, to see drastic changes unless there's like, I don't know, maybe you have Beyonce that's promoting your product and therefore it's like skyrockets, right? Other than that, it will be a gradual pacing in terms of improving your ranking. And I've seen that over and over again, that there are differences because of these specific variables, how much budget you have, what category you are in. But launching, it doesn't happen in a week. So whoever has advertising experience or has sold on Amazon understands that you are in a launching phase at least a couple of months, right? Mm-hmm. All that period, what you do is you optimize, you make tweaks, right? You collect data and you make changes based on the data that you get in. But, you know, if I would need to be asked, because I was asked at one point, is like, but when do you realize if it's negatively pacing or positively pacing? I said 7 to 10 days, at least you have a pattern, right? So is my organically ranking improving based on the efforts that I'm putting into advertising, or is it not? If it's not, it usually means that you have a problem. It's either you are addressing the wrong audience, it's either the right audience, but when they get to the page, it doesn't resonate with them, right? Yeah. So that therefore you need to make the changes. But it's definitely a process when you look at launching itself.
It's a lot harder than it used to be of just getting a coupon discount code for 85-90% and just launching to page one in
do some
days.
Giveaways. Yeah. 3 days you're up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is the thing, like in the last few years at least, we've heavily used influencers to promote products for launch, and you know, we could go from zero, nothing, to page one top within a day, right? But of course, if that doesn't continue, then Amazon don't go, all right, we'll just keep you there because you did well for a few days. They'll go, okay, well, you know, you're not getting sales through all of these keywords. These all came kind of from a direct link. And then you start to see that drop. It does help, obviously, but it's not like a silver bullet in that sense. And I think, yeah, you're right. Taking that approach of relevancy first and saying, hey, here's our product, Amazon, come and check it out from an SEO perspective, but also we're getting sales on these keywords and these sellers are similar to us. So kind of, we're like them. Can you look at us like them?
And please.
Trying to get, please. Yeah. Like, we're kind of like them, but maybe we're a bit better. we got some reviews today. Can we get bumped up a little bit? And it's this like, you constantly trying to feed Amazon the right data, right? And say, look, here's relevancy, here's who we are. And then over time, you get rewarded for that. And you said something quite interesting, which is how I think about this. Like on social media, if I post an Instagram reel or a TikTok or a YouTube video or whatever, immediately what happens is the platforms will send it out to a select group of your followers. And depending on the data that it gets back, and the feedback that it's getting, it will then decide if it sends it to more. Depending on that feedback, it'll say, cool, let's try and send 5% or 10% of the traffic externally to non-followers and let's see how it does. And it never just goes bang viral. It doesn't do that. It always waits for the data, and Amazon works in exactly the same way, doesn't it? It's yes. saying, show me the data and I will, you know, the algorithm will respond accordingly. And I think this is quite interesting to see where this will go into the future. So speculating, I guess, or maybe you think, hey, look, I will die on this hill. This is where it's going. If it's updating every 2 to 24 hours, I'm assuming that's only going to get better.
Definitely. But I think it's going to get better, not in terms of how fast it will refine. I think we are kind of like at the maximum of how fast it can update your ranking. I think it's going to go towards personalization more and more and more, diving into audiences. Because, you know, I've been looking at this sectioning of audiences and obsessing over it for years now, even in terms of advertising and how I section them. Because like when SQP was available for us marketers, that felt like Christmas morning for so many people, me included, because I could finally have a benchmark, right? Mm-hmm. I could finally understand how I'm doing in comparison to the market, because if that, up to that point, you only have your data, or you can see how much, you know, the competitors are generating in total revenue, but it wouldn't give you necessarily all the insights that you need. Now you have the metrics in order to understand your market share per keyword, right? Mm. Which that leads you to understanding specific aspects of your audience, right? So you have a shopper persona, but then you have niched groups, keywords per buyer intent. Let's say you are selling, I don't know, a shiny pink backpack for women that's made out of cotton, right? I'm just it's waterproof, right? I'm just inventing this. I don't even know if that exists or if that would be a trend. If anybody wants to try it, go ahead. I would take those keywords. So of course it's a backpack for women. And then you have all these other layers that define what your product is. So sectioning them per buyer intent, whoever is looking for, I don't know, a pink backpack for women or a waterproof backpack for women, right? So you kind of section that. And it was interesting in order to understand that you move away from go after the highest search volume keywords, but you try to section them in order to understand what resonates. And over time, as you gather data, you understand that your strength might be waterproof versus the shiny color, right? So when you have access to SQP, you can actually make an analysis on these specific terms, on these specific groups, and try to understand how you are positioned versus market, which gives you the opportunity to pivot in mm-hmm. optimization or on advertising. How aggressive do I want to be on advertising on this group? Or if, you know, shoppers don't really engage with the fact that my backpack is shiny and I have other more shiny competitors out there winning over me, it means that maybe I need to retouch my product images in order to showcase how shiny it is, if that makes sense, and optimize for that specific pain point of mm-hmm. mine, right? And only gathering data from advertising by sectioning, you get those insights.
What I think would be amazing at one point in time is there was dynamic, or the ability to update your listing dynamically based upon the search term. Now we know that Amazon said,
with the titles,
that they're going to be changing the titles, but they're going to be in charge of that, which is not, you know, sometimes the most ideal thing. But I think it would be amazing in the future if you said, look, if this search term comes in and we're for advertising for it, this is the listing you show them for the exact same product. We can do that on video, right? Which is why I think, why can't we do this on other advertising, right? We can have a video and we can have an exact video for an exact keyword and make it super relevant. But you can't do that for your first image or the rest of your carousel or your title, or your bullet points at the moment. Do you think Amazon will ever do that? Or that'll be maybe
100%. they started with sponsor brands, the custom images. So you remember that you can add the custom image. At one point they were testing, I think you could add two or three. They started low and they would swipe it.
Yeah.
Now you can add five images and Amazon is going to show the image that gives in the best data. That's a bit scary when I don't see the data because I don't know what they are measuring. I estimate that they are going to kind of like interpret results based on the goal of the campaign itself. But until that they actually, because I'm, you know, data geek, I would really love to see, you know, the numbers behind why you choose and how you show a specific image. But they do mention that now they are testing that and ultimately they will show the image that has the best results in terms of engagement. So they don't give you a specific metric, but they again talk about audience and how it resonates to that audience. So I think it's already starting.
It would make sense that they do that more because if I've spent a lot of time over the years, you know, before Meta was a thing, it was Facebook ads and Instagram ads and stuff like that. And your creative was so important and you could have an ad set with, you know, 10 different images with different call outs or videos with different hooks. And then you could see the data of this one's getting the better click through, this one's getting the better cost per click. And then everything can adapt accordingly. And ultimately you'll spend more money because your ads work better. From that perspective, it makes sense to follow in the footsteps of those other ad platforms, which are maybe a little bit more developed.
Yeah.
So that you as the seller, you have access to that data because if you can make more of that good content, ultimately, Amazon will have more relevant listings or more relevant advertising, more money spent on the platform, which is obviously a pretty big revenue source for them, the biggest. And on the whole, it's like a net positive. Customers are happy, Amazon happy, sellers are happy, right?
100%. I totally agree. And when they announce the titles that will be personalized, I was flying from Accelerator. They announced it at Accelerator. I was flying from Accelerator to an event in Slovenia and they announced it. I was like mind blowing because I was talking to somebody the previous night about that specific. And I was like, we're going towards audiences. You know, I was talking about everything that I learned from the patents and the science papers. And it's like, this will become even more personalized. It would be cool if we could do this because if you remember, you know, the ranking hack that was popular, I think, 4 years ago in SEO would be to change the order of specific keywords in the title, which makes sense because on mobile, which is like 70% of your shoppers, you know, utilize the mobile, you don't see the entire title, right? You see about 60 to 80 characters. So you would change the order in a way that would be more visible for specific keywords. So you try to be more relevant. Therefore, you get more clicks, more orders, you rank. That was it. It wasn't that the order itself had an impact on where it was in the title. It was the relevance to the shopper itself. So that's what Amazon is doing by default now.
That's really interesting because I did a test for that. It was a test that I didn't expect to see the result. And it was just one of those things that happened. And it was a under the mat splat mats, so something goes under a high chair. And I was trying to think, well, how, as a case study, how can we dethrone the current sellers and get the top clicks products? So I was using Product Pinion to do the testing on this, like the user testing. And first thing, obviously, took the user data, took the customer complaints and all that sort of stuff, and then formed it into what I thought the product would look like. All good, that's getting some good clicks. Then at the very end of the title, mobile optimized, put and super cute. And what was really interesting is that, hey, that's not a keyword that you would ever rank for. It's not a searchable, you know, search term or a query that anyone would, I want something super, you don't do that. Had zero SEO use. But on the responses from all of this feedback is I would choose option D because blah, 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 blah. And it's super cute. Or I love the cute design, da, 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 cute. Da, da, da. And everyone was saying like more times than not, cute. And that showed me, even something at the end of the title, if it's relevant for that customer, it does make an impact. Whereas previously I thought they probably don't even see it. And I think if that could then be moved around, depending on what maybe Amazon think, they go, right, we'll test that a bit further up in their algorithm. We'll send it out to 100 impression or 1,000 impressions or whatever their test group is. And if it gets better responses, we'll then push that a bit further. I think that's very, very interesting, because you might then be able to, if we can get that data to say this title is on the whole working better, like a split test, because there's be so many options, I think that's really incredible data to have.
I agree. Kind of going forward. I agree. Yeah. And it ultimately comes down to, let's say, you know, they were able to see the title, but on the search, they would not be able to see the title. Right? The full title that you just mentioned about having super cute at the end. But once they get on the page, that might be a reason to make the decision whether to buy it or not. But think about it like this. As we know, the algorithm works today. If somebody would search for a cute mat, you would show up because you might be the only one that has cute in the title. So Amazon redoes your title, it personalizes based on the query that it receives. So because you have that in the title, you would be one of the first that would show up, and you would have cute within the length of where a shopper sees that your sees your title on the search.
So therefore, it's really, really, really important, kind of coming full circle, to understand your customer. The reason I put that in there is because when on a previous test, people were saying, like, about one of them, like, I like the cute design of that one. I was like, right, well, let's make a really cute design. And that led the product development for that. So whilst you need to understand your customer and then create something that's hyper-targeted towards that customer, making sure the images, listing, title, copy, blah, 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 advertising is also hyper-targeted.
Yes.
Is that how you succeed in 2025 and beyond?
Totally. I would say you just hit it. Yes, that's exactly the strategy behind it. Tailored, customized, speak to your shopper. And you had the great example with cute. If they use cute, 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 add that to the copy. Add that somewhere because it resonates to their behavior, right? So it actually comes down to personalizing, not being so focused. Because think about it like this. It's not anymore focused on stuffing keywords. It doesn't work anymore, right? Amazon tries to understand your product. It's not anymore you used your main keyword 50 times in the listing, so therefore you are indexed for it, right? It's not that concept anymore. It's the readability of the text itself and how engaging it is. And yes, at the end of the day, if you need to utilize cute, because that's what you notice shoppers are utilizing when, you know, when describing the product, put that in and test it out. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, just try to replace it with something else. That's also where Comprehend comes like into action. Mm-hmm. That's a very great tool in AWS where you actually see the positivity score. And it's not so much about positivity score, which I think with your example of the title, I think you would have got a perfect score for it. It also comes down to understanding the labels that Amazon attributes for those specific terms, right? So yes, it of course, like if you have a shopper persona that you try to have, I don't know, a more lively message and how you communicate with them, definitely that's also something that you need to take into consideration. So also analyzing with Comprehend, I think it's a great way to go further after going to product opinion and gathering all that information.
Mm. It's kind of checking what you've done is going to land. And I see that this is the really interesting thing about Amazon Selling Now. I think we're definitely on the cusp of a very different way of operating, which will benefit the people that are very customer-centric and customer-driven. Whereas in the past, maybe like 8 years, 10 years, it was more, I would say, process-driven and like hack-driven. And you could essentially get anything up there, stick a label on it and sell it and make money. Obviously, it doesn't work anymore like that most of the time. It's much more going back to how a normal, successful business should operate, which is, who's our customer and how do we sell to that customer? If I go, you know, if I walk into a barbershop and they don't cut hair, then hey, it's not going to work, right? And
totally.
This is why I think it's interesting, and maybe I'm not communicating this, you know, correctly, but I do feel that although it's harder to sell on Amazon than it was a few years ago, I think we're on this cusp of it getting, someone, don't quote me on this, easier. Quote, easier for the people that really do focus on the human behavior, rather than the metrics. Because if the human behavior is correct, then the metrics is just a process, or the admin is just a process that will get easier over time as well, especially with how you can optimize with AI, and that's going to get a lot better as well. What are your thoughts there?
The metrics, as you call it, it's still very important. As I mentioned in the beginning, you start from understanding that your product needs to be picked up by an algorithm who's going to read your back end, your front end is going to go and scan through your images. So that's still extremely important, right? But then you have the other side of the coin, as I always call it, which is definitely shoppers. And yes, optimizing for behavior, optimizing for a personalized shopping experience, which is what Amazon has always tried to communicate. It's just that it took them years to get here, right? What did Amazon say? They are the most customer-centric business in the world. They always said that. They always tried to do that, right? They always tried to show. If you look at, you know, videos of Jeff Bezos in the beginning, he was always promoting this. That was his dream. I can
picture that right now. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was always about the likelihood of a conversion. It was always about selling more faster and having happy customers, right? That hasn't changed. It's just that they managed to get to this point where it really is more personalized, where it really comes down to a more tailored experience for every shopper, for every query that gets generated, right? They just want to always sell more and faster. Even with Rufus, I estimate that you will, you will wake up in the morning and Rufus will remind you that you need to buy again some refills for a specific product. Or you wake up and it's going to be like, hey, you know, you forgot to order this. I see it going into that direction with Rufus. It's so in the beginning, but when it was announced, and I remember it was the 2nd of February, 2024, they announced that they will have Rufus and they were testing it on 100 people. That for me is like, whoa, that's going to change, because ultimately over time, it's not going to be instant. It will change how people buy on Amazon, and it will change how people search for products on Amazon. We need to be aware of that, right? Mm. It's just a matter of time, and it's a matter of Rufus becoming better, because we all know in the beginning it wasn't like exceptional, right? But it's an LLM. It learns over time, right? So and they will improve it over time. So it's a matter of time until we get to that level of, you know, how personalized your shopping on Amazon is. Or they would go and, I don't know, based on your behavior, they have Merlin, who's already looking. It's another LLM that they are adding in. It's sort of like a framework that helps with product recommendations across different categories. It's insane, because what they make as an example is, if you buy today a phone and a cover, and 3 months down the road you come back searching for another cover, they will not recommend you to buy another phone, because they know that you would not buy the phone, but they would recommend a different accessory for the product itself. So it's insane how it goes towards, you know, understanding what you buy, making correlations between those purchases, and then coming back with tailored recommendations for you specifically on what they think. And as you say yes or no over time, the system kind of learns on you. Again, I feel so in the beginning with this, but that's the direction that they're going.
I totally see that. And I think especially when there's life events, when there's clear things, if you've purchased these things, you are going through this sort of life event. So I had a daughter just over a year ago. There's all sorts of things that if we look at a population, you know, a segment of the population, probably most people buy these things, and then a month later they buy these things, and a month later they buy these things. It would make sense for Amazon to send you a push notification saying, hey, you're probably looking at this right now. Wouldn't that be great? And the other platform I look at to think, well, where's Amazon going with this is Google. Because now when I search something on Google, I use the AI summarizing thing, And then I'm done. Like, that gives me the answer the majority of the time. If I need to research a little bit further, might click in and might scroll down. But if it's a knowledge-based question, that's all I use. That's all you need to use. And I think this comes down to, once Amazon decide that this is better than search, or it's making them more money, right?
Exactly. Like,
cut the bullshit. It makes more money. Then it won't be a choice. I want to use one or the other. It will say, here's your search. Maybe at the top, there's the Rufus recommendation of the top three products. I don't know what it will look like. And it will just become the buying experience. And then 5 years in the future, maybe that will be complete. Who knows what Amazon's going to look like in the future? It might not be a massive list of products. Like, Perplexity have just announced or released recently that they have it's like an AI tool, and they have the ability to add a marketplace or a shop, so that you can add your products into that, so that it will promote your product, or it will show your product to relevant searches. Not a marketplace. It's saying, hey, here's the product that you want. So I think it's very interesting for sellers as to how we adapt right now, because we're on that over the next couple of years, at least, that tipping point. And I think, this is my future predictions, that a lot of the sellers that are smaller now, not your big like name brands, all that sort of stuff, there's massive opportunity for people in that area and the people that are starting right now, because they can adapt super, super quick. Whereas a big company with 1,000 SKUs, how are they going to make all those changes? Extremely costly to make all those changes and to run all those tests. And they might think, do you know what, right now, hey, it's not that big of a deal. I think it will be a big deal. And that, I think, is the biggest opportunity for us to survive over the next few years, at least.
It will come down to how the big sellers see and what is their objective, because if they want to stay stagnant, but at one point maybe see that they are losing market share, they might need to make the tweaks that they have to, right? But I'm coming from a space with, you know, having all the interactions with so many sellers of all different sizes. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that big sellers are not looking at this opportunity and trying to figure it out. Yes, it is more difficult with a catalog of 1,000 ASINs maybe, but you know, it comes down to starting testing on a handful maybe of products rather than all of them. And as data comes in, I think it's also a motivator to apply that, despite the fact that, yes, resources is something very important, especially today when we know everybody's suffering because of the margins, right? With fees increase and all the issues that they had in the past 2 years, I would say. But I think it comes down to understanding and assessing the need. Mm-hmm. Who understands that, yes, we are actually on a bridge. That's how I see it. Like, we're in the middle of a bridge going towards something totally new and leaving behind where we were, because search is changing. Everything is changing and you need to be aware of that. And yes, be agile. Act based on the changes that come through and not just, you know, wait for your business to sink and then try to make some decisions to revive it, which is even more difficult when that happens.
Because it'll be a slow death. It won't be a quick one. It'll be, you know, it's not like getting restricted. It'll be a slow, painful what is going on. But I look back, and the reason why I said that about the kind of the more established brands that will maybe not put as much focus on, is because I see so many times, even now, you look at established brands that are just not doing what was the done thing 3 years ago. They haven't updated everything. And their listings have still got loads of emojis in it, and they're not doing it correctly, or not say correctly. They're still obviously making money, and that's going to be the ultimate, you know, the ultimate metric. Are they making sales? But they're not keeping that housekeeping up to date. And I do think, especially with Rufus, so I've got this heater right here. Mm-hmm. Everyone that's watching. Oh, I just unplugged it. Okay. I've got this.
Advertising on the heater.
Well, this is the thing. So I just recently had all this like studio made. Because my daughter was born, I had an office in my house. Quickly realized that is a really, really, really bad idea after like screaming happened. So I, you know, built all this. Didn't put in heating because there's like that much insulation in the walls. I was like, surely it won't need that much. It did need a bit. So I went on Amazon. I used Rufus for this. and such, hey, I need 40 meter square room. What's the best heater that I can turn on from inside my house? Blah, 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 blah. And it gave me the result of like, this was the second result that came up. So not the first one. I'll tell you why I didn't choose the first one. And if I search for the main keywords plus a few extras to really get specific with the timings and the square meterage, I don't know if that's a word. This was like 12th or 15th. And if I was traditionally searching, I wouldn't have chosen it because it was, you know, far down. I maybe wouldn't have scrolled that far. Maybe I would have. It's a more considered purchase. But I was searching for about 20 minutes beforehand, thinking, which one do I want to buy? I couldn't get the answer, then use Rufus. So this came up second and it said, hey, look, these are all the things that you wanted. It's got them, blah, 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 blah. The reason I didn't choose the first one is because the listing didn't back up what Rufus was saying. It said it had a remote control and it, you know, could be controlled in whatever. And I couldn't validate that using the images on the listing. I didn't buy it, but I did get this one, which ended up being more expensive. So I used that like anecdotally to say, this is where, as a starting seller, if you can find those questions that people ask, right?
Exactly.
And we can start to optimize to try and get that little bump. Hey, if you can get a little bump in on your sales now, fantastic. But I think you're planting a seed for later on. And if you can give Amazon that data now, it will then help you even more. It will push you because they want to push Rufus, right? It makes sense that they want to push it and they want people to use it. So give them the keys, give them everything, give them what they need rather than don't optimize your listings and hold back and say, well, just work out yourself, basically. Like just tell them what they need to know. And maybe Amazon will tell us what we need to know one day. Probably not, though.
That's why they are, and I'm going to put like, AKA threatening to optimize your back end because sellers are not optimizing their back end. Now, here is the problem. We know that the back end information is very important, but I was actually testing Rufus just like you mentioned. I'm geeking out. When I have some spare minutes, I do Rufus for fun. I'm kidding. So there was this specific product that I handle and I have, you know, and I was looking at it and I was like, okay, let's try to understand what information is it that it's not picking from a listing. And I got to a point where there was this specific question and I knew I had it in the back end, but it wasn't in the images. And Rufus, you know, despite the fact that we know how Rufus works because it goes through your product detail page, then it goes to reviews, and then it kind of goes to the Q&As. And I think it's kind of like a validation between all of them. So despite the fact that I did have the back end filter with the correct information, it wasn't anywhere else on the listing, on the images, and neither in the reviews. And Rufus didn't pick it up.
Right.
It got me other products. So that was an indicator that I need to optimize one of my secondary images with that information, because it will not be picked up. And it was one very important question that was showing up not only on my page but also on my competitors' pages. So the fact that it, you know exactly what you have in the back end, you know exactly your product, and then you go and test it with Rufus, I think that's very powerful. And you know, you mentioned the fact that the first result that show up said that it had the remote control, but it didn't show on the product detail page. I think that can be like a combination between they might have that information somewhere, but it's not clearly showcased, right?
Yes. So from an SEO perspective, it might have been in the reviews or the question, somewhere. Does this come with a remote? Yes.
Yes.
But as the customer, I'm not going to go and look at the description. I'm just going to look at images.
Of course. Of course. So you looked at the images, which is, it's a big indicator of how powerful data it is. Again, trying to understand, you know, what do you show up for? What do you need to optimize? And what are maybe some features that are not clearly displayed? And that's what I was referring to in the beginning when I said you need to make sure that you strategize per buyer intent and it's fully optimized for your shoppers.
Absolutely, yeah. We've discussed a lot of topics today, which yes. I think is, I'm sure we could go back and forth on this for days, maybe. Like, this is something that I'm really passionate about this as well. And this is what I try and educate people as much as possible about, you know, yes, you've got to do the data, but customers, and track your data, track everything. Tell me about your current venture, Stardust, and I want to learn a little bit more about it.
Yes, so it's absolutely in the beginning. I recently, when I say recently, it's November 2024. I know that, you know, we're in 2025 now, but in November 2024, I left my job from Trivium. I think everybody knows Trivium and Mina Elias. Everybody loves that the team over there, which I miss. Totally miss, but it was time for me to kind of like go into this new adventure of mine based on, you know, I have a lot of experience, and what really helped me understand what is a need on the market at the moment came from the research that I did with the science paper and especially with the patents. So from there, it kind of like I had this idea of mine in which every seller should have a different approach in terms of optimization. We are not looking at the SEO as we did far back when you just create a title, some bullet points, you maybe add some metadata on your images, you add some images, infographics, and then you put some search terms in the back end and that's it. It requires customization and a strategic approach for strategic optimization. And that's how the project of Stardust came to life. It's like that idea in my head. So yes, I'm still building it. It's a startup, so it's quite slow in the beginning, but it focuses on laser optimizing for your target audience. So it comes down to creating these strategies of optimization that reflect everything that we just discussed, which I'm passionate about, like you said, and I can go on and on and on for days without even stopping and talking how important it is to understand the current Amazon landscape and what you need to do in terms of that. So yes, that's where I am. That's why I, you know, I had to step out of my 9-to-5 job. No, I'm kidding. It was very flexible, and it was an amazing experience overall with Trivium. It helped me because I did manage, you know, maybe the highest number of clients that I ever did up to this point. And of course, the biggest team that I managed up to this point. So yeah, you know,
onto, the rest onto is bigger history. And better things though.
Exactly.
Sorry if anyone from Trivium is watching, but look, I'm all for everyone's on their own path, right? And I think I love what you're doing in terms of you've seen, hey, look, this is something that sellers will definitely need. And it's not a case of if, but, or maybe this is going this way. And you have an expertise and a passion in that area. It makes total sense. And there's even people that, you know, have worked at Amazon and they've seen the writing on the walls and they've gone, maybe we should, you know, do our own thing, right? Yes. I look at Max Sinclair from Ecomtent, right?
Yes.
You know, yes. They've done exactly. Fantastic things over the last couple of years, but hey, Max was at Amazon for a while working on search. You never know what you know.
Somebody saw the writing on the wall, right?
Yeah. Once you're behind the scenes and you work in tons of accounts, you see what's happening, you understand the sentiment and of sellers. And this is what I see a lot. It's what is happening is very different sometimes from what people think is happening. And then you see, hey, there's opportunity here to help people. And you know, that's why we create content. That's why you've obviously done that that paper, because you see something that other people maybe haven't seen. You go, cool. You guys should probably know this, by the way. This is like kind of important.
Exactly.
So if people want to connect with you, what's the best place to come and find out more?
Definitely LinkedIn. That would be my go-to place. I utilize LinkedIn quite often. It's where I publish also all my content in terms of all my findings, everything that I, you know, geek out on, and then I can share with everybody just to try to help. Because think about it like this, if you help with the information that you find, you share it out and you help even one person out of 100 people who watched it or saw it, I think it's still a very big win at the end of the day. So definitely LinkedIn.
Amazing. So yeah, go and follow. What's the correct? Connect. That's it. Connect. Go and connect on LinkedIn. I've only just recently started on posting on LinkedIn over the past few months. I don't know why I neglected it for years and years and years. And like YouTube and Instagram was my bag. And then I realized there's this whole other just completely massive, ginormous Amazon ecosystem on there, which I've just ignored basically for for a long time. But the key thing that I really love about LinkedIn and your posts and stuff like that is they're very valuable and consumable quickly, which is something that you don't get on YouTube. A 10-minute video, you know, it's hard to consume. You might have to listen to it or watch it or blah, 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 blah. You can quickly scroll and go through it. So yeah, definitely everyone go and check that out as well. So thank you again for helping us survive Amazon. Now, if you've liked this episode and you found it helpful, please do share it with other sellers that need help surviving. Subscribe, comment if you're able to on the platform you're listening. Give it a review, actually. That would be a good idea. Give it a review. Not a bad one, though. That'd be great. So we can continue to help other sellers survive on Amazon. Thank you again, Oana, and we'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you.